He has prepared us to be in His presence this day. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship Him. Good morning. It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day. He's blessed us with another beautiful day of worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We had a brisk worship service this morning at 9:30 outside, but we are reminded that the God is the God of all seasons, and He is changing the weather, and it is a good day to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glad that you decided to join us this morning in our sanctuary for worship. For those that are watching us on Facebook Live this morning with your family and friends, thank you for joining us using that avenue. We also are excited about the opportunities. Like, if you miss a Sunday, just know that you can also go to our website. And if you go to our website, you can pull up the worship service. Usually it's placed up about Monday or Tuesday afternoon. So at any time, you can go to our website and listen to the worship service that way as well. This morning, I want to just remind you about a couple of things. I will talk about homecoming next Sunday in just a few minutes, but just want to remind you that our Wednesday night Bible study, Here Comes the Judge, that we're doing at 6:30 p.m. on Facebook Live. You're welcome to join me for that time of study. This week is session three in our study, as we're going to look at the judges of Eliud and Shamgar this week. The study guide for this week's session will be in place on the website by Tuesday. And then also you can go to the website as well to find out what are the reading, what we're reading each week to do your preparation reading for that Bible study. Also a reminder about Thursday, our opportunity to gather upstairs in the fellowship hall at 11 a.m. for prayer. For anyone who wants to come, it is a time to lift up prayer for our church family, our community, and just the world. And this is a time that obviously we need lots of prayer. So I encourage you to join me at 11 o'clock on Thursdays for the prayer pack. I also want to point out one thing that's in your bulletin this morning. Our church is hosting a shower, a wedding shower for Lindsay Swing and Landon Hines. The wedding's coming up in a couple weeks, so we're going to host a wedding shower. Usually we do this on Sunday mornings in the fellowship hall, big gathering, lots of food, but we're having to change things up a little bit. So on Saturday, October 17th, some of our ladies here at the church will be holding a wedding shower for Landon and Lindsay outside under the shelter. And basically what it is a drive-in or a drive-through shower. So you're welcome to come by and bring a gift for Landon and Lindsay and wish them well. And then also an opportunity just to maybe just to fellowship just a little bit. But it will be a drive-through wedding shower on Saturday, October 17th from 10 a.m. to noon, just underneath the edge of the shelter upstairs. So if you be in prayer for this young couple. Be also a way to support them is to come by and support them at the shower as well. Other things are in your newsletter this week, so make sure you just look at those and see what's coming up in the month of October. We'll talk about next Sunday in just a few moments, but we are here to gather and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I encourage you at this time to stand. Let's sing praises together. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart.
The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much purer gold. They're sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning, reminding that we are worshiping the same God who brought creation into being. He brought each one of us into being. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this day. Father God, whose signature we see if we just dare to even open our eyes, you know, in the creation of the universe, in the faces of those that we're worshiping with today, help us this hour to look and to listen for your handwriting and your voice in this place. Connect our offering of praise today to your timeless rhythms, your ageless melodies, your everlasting joyful noise. Guide us now to focus on you, Father, knowing that in you our distractions that we may have brought to our worship service this day may turn into new opportunities and new possibilities for action in a world that needs it. Breathe life into our singing, into our praying, into our speaking, into our listening. Every act that we bring to you today, breathe life into it. That all these activities might become more than they simply are. In our worship, we reach out to you, God, knowing that you have already embraced us this day and every day. That is why we gather here to worship on this day, the day that you have blessed us with. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our next hymn is Come Thou Fount, Come Thou King. Let's stand and let's worship together.
Come thou fount of every blessing, through thy word to see the grace, streams of mercy.
next Sunday. I just do want to remind you that we will be celebrating homecoming here at First Baptist Elon. It is our 72nd anniversary, and we look forward to a time of worship and a time of fellowship. Next Sunday morning, however, the schedule is going to be a little bit different. We will only have one worship service next Sunday. It will be at 10 o'clock, and it will actually be an outside worship service, drive-in style upstairs in the upstairs parking lot. I want to encourage those that want to come and sit outside, they're welcome to bring a chair with you. Hopefully the weather's going to cooperate, and it'll be a great day of worship that'll take place. Again, it's at 10 o'clock next Sunday morning. That service will be streamed on Facebook Live, so if those are unable to come next Sunday, you will be able to watch that on Facebook Live at 10 a.m. Also, what we're going to do is we're also going to stream the worship service into the sanctuary on our worship screens here. So if you prefer not to sit outside, you're welcome to come next Sunday and sit in the sanctuary. We'll have the service on the screens up here. You'll be able to experience that time of worship, and we have a great time of gathering together as the body of Christ here at First Baptist Elon. Now, following the worship celebration next Sunday, we will have a catered box lunch picnic immediately following worship outside on the grounds here at First Baptist Elon. Thank you for those who turned your orders in. We got those and placed those for over 60 meals actually yesterday. So the order got placed yesterday, and we're excited about that time of fellowship. We will social distance outside. If you did not order a lunch, that's okay. We ordered some extras as well. So you're still welcome to come and join us for a time of worship and a time of celebration. I also just want to encourage you next Sunday, since we'll be doing something a little bit different after worship with the meal and everything, we are asking everybody to make sure they bring a mask with you, even though we're going to be outside. We want to make sure that we are able to get our food and sit down in our location before we eat. So just a reminder, make sure you bring a mask with you next Sunday as a part of that celebration. We look forward to a time of celebration next Sunday for worship and fellowship, and I hope you'll join us whatever way, whether you sit outside with us, sitting here in the sanctuary, or on Facebook Live, however you gather with us next Sunday. We will celebrate what the ministry that God has done in the life of our church for 72 years, and what he plans on doing it for many, many more years. So let us gather next Sunday at 10 a.m. to worship our Lord and Savior. Now, if you would, let's transition to our time of offertory. Your offering has already been placed in the place as you walked in this day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and lift up praise and prayer for that offering. Almighty God, you gave us your commandments many, many years ago and asked us to live according to your divine will, as we just spoke about in Psalm 19. As a small piece of your design for honorable living, we participate in the simple act of giving this morning with our offering. Father God, it's not just what we place in the offering plates this day, but it's also what we dedicate with our lives. We dedicate ourselves as living offerings of honesty and peace in this world. Father, use our offering. Use us as we seek to honor you and serve you. Accept these offerings of worship this day to further your kingdom. Amen.
Beautiful city, not a city of angels.
Responsibilities we have of building his kingdom here on earth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this day. Father God, we come to you reminded of the opportunities that you lay in front of us every single day. We come to you this day recognizing there may have been opportunities this past week that we simply missed. And Father, as we come to you this morning, we ask for your forgiveness. We ask for your gracious gift of mercy that you bestow upon us. Father, we also pray this day for the opportunities that lie ahead, the ones that you already see, the ones that our eyes may not even be able to comprehend this day, yet you're preparing us for it. Father, may we answer you. May we hear you. May we see you. Give us that gentle nudge when we need that this week. Father, we also come to you today recognizing we have many in our church family who are unable to gather with us this day. We lift those up that cannot be with us. We lift up their needs to you, Father. We lift up our nation to you, Father, as a nation that's still riddled with COVID, and we ask and pray that you be with all those individuals, even those at the top of our government who are experiencing the virus just this week. Father, we lift them up to you. We lift everyone who is battling, whether it be COVID or other illnesses or other physical ailments, Father. May they feel your presence this day. May you embrace them, and may they feel your loving arms. But Father, you've also challenged us, a church, your body of Christ, to reach out to those, and we dedicate ourselves to that opportunity this day. Father, we are here. We're here for you. We're ready to be changed in a way beyond our possible understanding. Ways that maybe we've never experienced before, maybe a nudge from the Spirit that is something new. Father, whatever you are preparing for us today, may we not leave this place the same as when we came. Because every time we're in your presence, we should be changed. As we come to this time where we dive into your word, to reflect on words spoken, Father, move us, change us. May we experience you. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Again, we want to welcome you to First Baptist Elon for a time of worship. We want to thank you for those that are joining us in person, also on Facebook Live this day. It was a blessing last Sunday to gather around the table to celebrate communion. I hope you were touched by that opportunity as the body of Christ. And my hope is that joining around the table, around that banquet feast that Christ prepared for us, I hope joining with your brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever you were able to participate last Sunday, that you felt united, that you felt close, united through Christ, but also united to each other. From Christians in the past, Christians in the present, Christians in the future, because that's the power of that meal. And I hope you also felt united with the body of Christ here at First Baptist Elon in the multiple different ways we're worshiping these days. Sometimes it feels like a little disconnected, but I hope through everybody experiencing that sacrifice last Sunday that you felt close and you felt united. This morning, we are going to look again at another wedding feast. Last week we talked about the feast that Christ prepared, but we're going to look at a wedding feast story from the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus shares this morning. And before we turn to that scripture passage, and before we pull it up on our screen behind me, we're going to revisit one of the questions I asked you last Sunday morning. Because remember last Sunday morning I asked you if you had ever received an invitation, a surprise invitation to a dinner party, a banquet, a feast, whatever the case may be. And last week I asked you if at the beginning of sermon, if when you received that, did you immediately respond yes or no? That's the question we're going to ask today. My guess is every time you receive an invitation in the mail to come to something, and that's where we receive most of our invitations, right? We don't say yes to everything, right? Is there anybody here that responds yes to absolutely every event you're invited to? If you are, raise your hand. Because if you do, I want to find out how you do it. Because that is making a lot of time, and that's making a lot of opportunity to find to go to everything that we may be invited for. And you think about it, because sometimes we have family conflicts. We have work conflicts. Sometimes we have other responsibilities that come into play. Or sometimes, let's be 100% honest, sometimes we just don't want to go. Raise your hand if you've ever been there before. All right, I see lots of hands of that one. There have been things where I just did not want to go. Our schedule, our family dynamic can dictate whether we answer yes or no to an invitation. But the preparation for the event still has to take place. The host still has to prepare if it's a larger party or for many people. He or she still has to prepare for the event, whether we come or not. Making sure there's enough food. You never want to run out of food at a party. That's the worst thing that can happen. That's when everybody starts leaving. Or you have to secure enough furniture. Maybe your furniture at your house or your home doesn't seat or doesn't fit the right number. So you have to get more furniture. Or maybe they have to secure entertainment if it's a big party. We talked about a wedding in just a couple of weeks. They have to secure the entertainment. Everybody, everything has to be in line, whether we're going to come or not. To ensure all these details are covered, often the host will attach four letters to the very bottom of that invitation. And we all know what those letters are. RSVP, right? You see those four letters. Well, I'm going to confess something to you today. I confessed to the worship service earlier this morning. For most of my life, I had no idea what those letters meant. RSVP. I had no idea. All I knew was when the host put that at the bottom of the invitation, you're supposed to say, I'm coming. Not even if you're not coming, you're supposed to respond, I'm coming. It wasn't until I started dating my wife Jennifer, who took multiple years of French in high school and in college, that I actually learned the significance behind those four letters. Now, I'm going to speak French for you today. I'm apologizing in advance, because if anybody took French You know that you have to roll your R's. I can't do that. I practice. I tried. My wife can do it perfectly, but I cannot roll my R's. RSVP. What does it stand for? Respondez, s'il vous plaît. Respondez, s'il vous plaît. Translated into English, that literally means please respond. Did you know that? The direct translation, it means please respond. You know, initially the designation was put on an invitation for an event, something like that. Most of the time it's about whether we're coming or not. That's been lost in translation in the English language. Because RSVP at the bottom was not what it was intended to be at all. Isn't it funny how we change things in our culture to make it fit the way we want it? Now, most of the time, RSVP at the bottom is basically to decide whether you're coming or not. Not whether you're not coming, but if you're coming. But initially, those letters were about whether to respond. Please respond. In our focus passage of scripture today, an RSVP is sent out multiple times by a king in the parable. Yet this invitation goes unnoticed and even ignored. The question I want to ask you today is this. How does that RSVP that we're going to talk about today sit with you? How do you respond to RSVP about what Christ was talking about and what God is opening up the door for you? So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to look at the Gospel of Matthew chapter 22. We're going to look at verses 1 through 14. The words will be behind me on the screen here as well. This is commonly referred to as the parable of the wedding feast. But to understand the concept of this parable, we need to understand that Jesus was actually preaching or sharing three parables in a row, and they build on top of each other. Now, Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's sharing this with his disciples, and he had the followers that were around him. He was also sharing this with the Pharisees that were in the crowd. But to understand the full meaning of this parable, we have to understand the other two. Now, I told the worship service at 9:30, I'm not going to preach three sermons today. I'm not going to preach on parable 1, parable 2, parable 3. I'm going to sum up parable 1 and parable 2 for you in basically a sentence. The first parable being of two sons. And that focus is really, the intent was focused on Jesus talking about who John the Baptist was. Why was John the Baptist here? Why was John's life important? That's parable 1. Parable 2 is the story about the Lord's vineyard. Now, we talked about this actually when we were doing our study, God of the Pandemic, by N.T. Wright just a couple weeks ago. But this parable simply is talking about revealing the prophetic line of the Jewish people and their history. What is it they have led through, what they've led up to, ending with Jesus as the son who was killed. That's parable 2. The climax, though, for these sets is parable 3. What exactly is Jesus talking about in this third parable? He was talking about John the Baptist, and then he was talking about the Jewish prophetic line and Jesus giving his life for us. What is this third parable that centers on eternal blessing or judgment? What does it have to do for us today? What is the message there? So if you have your Bibles again, Matthew chapter 22, reading verses 1 through 14. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened calf have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But
But they paid no attention, and they went off. One to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone that you can find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people that they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see his guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. "Friend," he asked, "how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen." When we receive the invitation to RSVP, the first question we need to ask ourselves is this: are our priorities in order? As Jesus shared this parable, his message is directed for all those that were in attendance. Everybody was gathered, just like it's intended for us today. But he was pointing directly towards the Jewish leadership of that day. A king extends an invitation to a wedding feast that is held in honor of his son. To understand the custom of that day, a host would extend actually two invitations to his guests for a wedding feast. He would first send out a formal invitation, described in this parable as the initial sending out of the servants. The response that we see from that first invitation from the potential guest probably went out to family and friends of the king, of course, but they were unwilling to come. But that didn't stop the king. The king then extends a second invitation. Oftentimes we don't do that. But back in the day, they would send out a second invitation. The day has come. The wedding celebration is happening today. I invite you to come. But the second response by the potential guests was similar, if not the same. It was to ignore. It was to go their own ways. Even some who seized the servants who had been there. Let's break down this parable for a second for our understanding. Obviously, the king who is extending the invitation is our Heavenly Father, God. And obviously, the banquet that we're talking about is for his son, Jesus Christ. But Jesus was sharing in this parable that these two groups of servants he sent out, the first group of servants represents the prophets of Israel, the chosen people, the chosen nation that God chose in the beginning. Now, he sent out with the initial proclamation that Christ was coming through these prophets. Just look, read Isaiah, read Jeremiah, read the Old Testament prophets of old. They speak of Jesus coming. However, the response was not heard. The second group of servants sent out in this parable by the king represent the Christian missionaries, those Christian prophets of that day who were trying to spread the message that Jesus is here or that Jesus has come. We've got to remember, in context, this was written to the Matthean community, those for the Gospel of Matthew, those that he was writing to. But these are the Christian missionaries and prophets that were sent out. That's that second group of servants. The invitation was received. They got the invitation in the mail. The first servants did their job. But what is our priority when we receive it? That was Jesus' question to this group that was gathered. That's the question we have to ask today. Is God our priority? Is he number one in our lives? Or does our priority list have about four or five things ahead of God? Think about it. Work, hobbies, even family life. God was saying that Jesus has to be number one. God has to be our top priority. Now, the guests in the parable did not have time for the banquet. They just ignored him. They ignored the offering of what God was providing for them. That is blessings on this earth and eternal blessings in heaven. Until we get to the point in our lives that we place God as number one, at top, as our number one priority, until we get to that point where no one else, anyone or anything comes ahead of God, we truly can't experience the blessings, the full blessings of God on this earth or the eternal blessings in heaven. Work, rest, fitting into the crowd, whatever we might want to put in ahead of that, God wants to be number one. So when we receive the invitation to RSVP, what is our response to God? Where are our priorities? That's the first question that Jesus was challenging in this parable. Where is our priorities? The second question we need to understand is this. When we receive the invitation to RSVP, to this earthly, to this wedding banquet feast, does our response anger the Lord? Let's be honest. Jesus wasn't pulling any punches when he shared this parable. He was being blatant and honest. The king receives word from that second set of servants that he sends out that those guests had too many things to do. They actually abused some of those servants and killed some of them. And the king is enraged. Our God is a loving, kind, and compassionate God. We like to hold on to those characteristics of our God, but we can't forget the scripture also tells us in Hebrews that he is a consuming fire. He's a consuming fire. And he gets frustrated by his people, by his chosen, when they ignore him. The king, our God, extends, then changes everything up. It's actually, scripture tells him, he sends out to deal with those who mishandled the servants, who mistreated the servants. But then he does something interesting, something that's out of the ordinary, that's something that never would possibly happen in that time period. He extends the invitation to everyone. He extends the invitation to anybody standing on the street corner. Please come to this wedding feast, to this wedding banquet. For Jesus, this represents the extension of God's blessing and God's eternal kingdom to everyone. Jews and Gentiles alike, the chosen people, the nation of Israel had rejected the prophets initially. They rejected the Christian missionaries. And now Jesus is extending that invitation to everyone, Jews and Gentiles alike. The initial rejection of the Son by the chosen, the rebellious nation of Israel, opens the door up to everybody. To everybody, all the guests, everyone's invited. Those who ignored the King of Kings' invitation had an opportunity to taste the eternal blessings of God on this earth and in heaven. But since we're in the middle of football season, they fumbled that chance. As we discussed last week, most of us would certainly accept that invitation to God's eternal blessings, right? Most of us wouldn't turn it down if we knew what the king was offering. We would feel special. We would feel honored. We would still feel chosen. However, do our actions, do our lives reflect an acceptance of that invite? response to the RSVP, simply a wavering maybe, maybe, or no. Perhaps the reason why so many individuals, even Christians in this day, are struggling because of indifference or mismanagement or simple rejection of God's blessings, because he's offering them to us today. Are we prepared to not just accept the invitation, but to prepare ourselves for what that invitation brings us? That brings us to the third question. Jesus didn't stop there. When we receive that invitation to RSVP to, we must be prepared to accept not only the blessings that God is going to offer, but we also have the responsibilities that come with it. That's right. The invitation comes with responsibility. The parable of the wedding feast that Jesus shares ends with an interesting twist. When the king arrives to the banquet hall and he sees his guests, he sees a man not dressed for the occasion. Now, we might want to justify it as like, oh, he was just sitting out in the street corner. You know, why would he be prepared in any way for the wedding feast? Something to understand back in biblical times, when guests were invited to a wedding banquet like this, not only would they receive the invitation, the host would also provide clothing for those that were coming in attendance. We don't see that today, right? You don't see the bride and the groom offering to buy new dresses for all the ladies and their suits for all the men. But back in the day, back in biblical time, that's what they would do. And as has been used many times in Christian history, the changing of the guard, the changing of our clothing from what we were wearing of old into new, signifies a faith change in our lives. Failure to put on the wedding guard back then was an affront to the host. It was downright rude. It was basically saying that you are better than the host themselves. Removing the old and replacing with the new is a reminder what God is calling us and calling all followers to do. Not just those that were listening when Jesus was sharing the parable, but for us today. Jesus was using the description of this one guest at that wedding feast, to point out that this acceptance of the benefits, the blessings of God, this acceptance of the invitation to go to the party, comes with responsibility. Because there were some in the crowd that day. There were Pharisees in that crowd that didn't understand that there was a responsibility that comes with that faith. Unfortunately, there are many today that don't understand. There's a responsibility that comes with that acceptance. Jesus was challenging the wedding guests, all that were invited, all that were gathered there that day, that the blessings of the king come with both benefits, but it comes with responsibilities. The invitations to the blessings of God on this earth and in eternity require a response and an action. It's not just simply saying yes. But what is your life following through with it? What are you doing to prepare for this occasion? What are you doing to prepare for the blessings that God has in store for you on earth here and in heaven? Are you changing your ways of life to reflect the priority that God wants to be? Let me say that again. Are you reflecting, are you changing your ways of life today to reflect the priority that God deserves? Are you leaving the traps and the sins of old, the old ways of life, our old clothing? Are we leaving those behind for areas that God is going to change and transform and challenge us? Are you leaving the old behind to put on the new? These new changes in our lives lead to action. Not just any action, not just busy work, but we're talking about kingdom building action. As the letter of James says, faith without works is dead. Does your reactions, your actions reflect that new clothing that you've accepted? Does your actions reflect what the King has prepared for you? Or are you simply wearing that same old clothing? Is God's righteousness reflected in the actions that you were taking? In closing today, I return to that question that I asked at the very beginning. What is your response to the wedding feast invitation? What is your response to the fact that God wants to be a priority in your life? Does your response reflect both the benefits of what it brings, but also the responsibilities that it carries? You know, we've all been invited to the same banquet, the same benefits, the same responsibilities, but the question is, how do you respond to the RSVP? What is your response today? He's waiting for your response. Let's pray. Father, so many years ago, you used the story of a wedding banquet and a wedding feast as a challenge to those that were gathered around them, but we must take that same challenge today. We've received the invitation. The invitation to the blessings on this earth and the blessings in heaven. But what is our response? What is our initial response? But what is our follow-up response? Because it's not just about the benefits, it's about the responsibilities that they carry. For those in the crowd that day, they heard of the banquet and they were trying to digest it. And today we do the same. What is that challenge for us today? What is that RSVP challenge? Are we willing to accept it? Are we willing to move forward and carry the responsibilities with us? That's what you're asking each of us this day, in this hour, in this moment. May we respond as you see fit, as you desire, making you a priority. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. So we come to the time of the service where we're asked to respond. Whether the response takes place where we sit today, or whether the response challenges us to get up and do something. This morning I'll be down front, and maybe today, maybe for the very first time in your life, you finally realize that that invitation that God is extending is meant for you. Maybe you're at home today and you realize that for the first time. Whatever the case may be, don't put it off. I'll be down front for those that are gathered here today. But if you're making that change, that accepting that invitation for the first time at home, feel free to contact the church this week. Contact the church today. Go to your knees right now and accept that invitation. The invitation of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or maybe today you're looking for a church home, a church body that is seeking to carry that responsibility that invitation brings. If you're seeking a church home that has a group of men and women, brothers and sisters in Christ, who seek to honor God, maybe First Baptist Elon is that home for you. I'll be down front if you want to come and join, or call us this week, and I'll talk to you about what our church is all about. Or maybe just today, you just need some time at the altar. This is God's altar. Or maybe at home, you find that place where you can be alone with God, recognizing that you've accepted the invitation a long time ago, but maybe your responsibilities that carry come with it, you haven't been following through. This is God's altar. Go to Him this day. Whatever your response is to that RSVP, that's what I challenge you today in this time as we sing. reminded that the invitation has been extended, but the responsibility we carry with us today. Go into the world sharing that love and joy that God brings us with those blessings that He provides. Go in peace.